Hello, Stitchers. Welcome to Stitch Please, the official podcast of Black Women Stitch, the sewing group where Black Lives Matter. I'm your host, Lisa Woolfork. I'm a fourth-generation sewing enthusiast with more than 20 years of sewing experience. I am looking forward to today's conversation, so sit back, relax, and get ready to get your stitch together.
Why your creativity is somehow enhanced by community?
Because I'm social and I like to talk. And so like those are the big things. Now, as a young child, you were around adults and there wasn't too much talking that you did because the child stayed in the child's place.
Yeah. And children are kind of boring. So no offense.
Oh, I was never boring.
I mean, to an adult, I think I'm endlessly fascinating. But please go sit down. That's why go sit down somewhere is a phrase.
Absolutely. And I was busy. So, you know, that was great because I always had something to do. But absolutely, it gives me that opportunity to socialize.
Yes. And
socialize the way that I want to. So I'm working with my hands. I'm doing something that I like to do. And I'm interacting with people. And, you know, again, I mean, like, it didn't matter what group of people I was working with. I connect very easily. And then it's like, take off from there. So this was the one place that I was going to go. And, you know, it got so bad. So I would travel an hour. So after work, I would travel. I would go all the way out to the Quilt Academy. I would do my sewing. I had a trainer. I'm supposed to be working out and losing weight, but that's another story. But I had to do sprints. I would figure out how to get from work to some track somewhere, do my sprints, get myself together, and then go to the Quilt Academy. Like, the non-negotiable for me was I absolutely was going to go every Tuesday and spend time with my quilting friends. I was going to go. And then I would come home and then, you know, do whatever at home from there. So most of my quilting took place outside of the home. It was great. It's a great relationship thing. Then your husband's not complaining that you're always in the sewing room because Tuesday was the dedicated day to do it. Little moments, but for the most part, that was my time on Tuesday. And, you know, especially as a newly married couple, you got to give them his time. It really worked out well for me. So I get to spend time with my friends, do what we do,
and then,
you know, come home. So that was the one day that I dedicated to that until they closed right before the pandemic. Which worked out because when I started my dissertation journey in 2018, I was so upset that I could not go on Tuesdays. I was trying to work it out, but trying to do a dissertation, classes, and it was like, okay, girl, you are stressed out.
And then a 2-hour round trip ride to go to the Quilting Academy when you need to be at the library or you've got reading or you've got class to take. Yeah, something's gotta give.
Right. And unfortunately, I laid that aside, you know, on occasion I might be able to, you know, put something together, but for the most part, you know, there was no more Quilting Academy, but like good. I don't wish, you know, a business closes,
no.
But at least I wasn't missing it because it was no longer there.
Right. That's right. That's right.
But it did. It was like, we got to get together. And of course, we haven't gotten together. Now, I think the ladies sometimes do that live closer to the area.
Yes.
But, you know, they already know I'm not traveling all the way.
It's a bit of a haul. What I find really interesting about this is you're making me ask a question that I can answer for myself in the affirmative. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Were you one of those kids who, when report cards came out, it said, is a distraction to self and others / talks too much in class?
And I still had those report cards. When my mother passed, it was like, we went through the report cards, talks too much, needs to do this, can't stay focused. But I mean, I had all A's, but
same. But then I was distracting other people, apparently.
Right.
But the idea of being, I love that category, being a distraction to themselves and others. And then this one girl who was like, the teacher moved me to sit next to everybody. And no matter where she moved me, I talked. She moved me next to her and I talked to her.
Yeah, no, I do not discriminate. I am an equal opportunity talker.
Oh my goodness. Now, community, it must have been a challenge then for someone who is a social sewer. You mentioned earlier about going to the community center as a young child. You mentioned working in, you know, sewing in family with your mother and then with your mother's mother, with your father's mother, your grandmother, and then with your other grandmother, your maternal grandmother who also sewed. And now you've been to the Quilt Academy, you've been in the quilt circle, and now you're writing a dissertation, which is so much work. And then 2020 hits and it's a pandemic and you can't go nowhere. What kind of things about your sewing practice changed during the pandemic?
Oof. So 2020 was a rough year. The school shut down. And so naturally, I went straight to thinking about, I got all this fabric. I could make masks because now you're home with nothing to do. So I began to make masks. In the process of making masks, my mother-in-law passed in the end of May. Yeah, I mean, March, at the beginning. But it was so close to the beginning of the pandemic that they didn't think it was COVID because there were some other issues with her. But unfortunately, then the kicker beyond that is that 2 weeks after she passed, then my husband passed from COVID.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was rough. And it left a void, of course. And it was different.
Yes.
So this wasn't our traditional Black folks come to your home, they sit and do the whole
thing. Right.
Now you're home and everyone's afraid to come around you because if you had it, you may have had it. So you're dealing with whatever the new normal is.
Yes.
In the meantime, I'm still making masks because I've got to figure out something to do with my time while I'm trying to figure out how to grieve differently than I've ever grieved before.
Mm.
So I was doing the masks. My friends, of course, because I was, for the most part, giving them away.
Okay.
Unless, you know, if it had to be mailed, which people preferred, I would mail them and you gave me money for postage. That's all
right.
So I would do that, or people would come and I have a back porch that's enclosed. And so they would come, I would lay the mask out. You pick the mask out that you wanted. They gave me whatever money they did, but that was the goal, was for the fabric to go down.
It's like, I didn't make 8 trillion masks.
I didn't make no money. I ain't getting rid of masks. But you
this
know,
was part of a process, a larger process. Right. And so it had lots of other benefits, maybe not those 2 particular things.
Yes, but it began that journey back. Mm. Now, mind you, I'm still working on a dissertation too. And so we're like, you know, they took me off track, which was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I went full steam ahead and didn't stop until all the classes were done. So I was only left with the proposal and dissertation.
Yes.
And then I went and I just let everything go for a minute, which was fine.
Yes.
And built myself back, you know, and you're never really complete, but it was enough to get my house in order, think about what I needed to do, and then find that joy that's within that helps you. Like, where's that happy place?
Yes.
And that happy place are the memories that I have made with my grandparents, the memories that I've had with the quilting circle, you know, even the debacles with the wedding dresses and things like that. Like, sewing is my happy place. And so absolutely, I began to pull that together. But that sidetrack side of me kept going left and helped going right.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, I'm on TikTok. So I got on TikTok because the kids were on TikTok. And I absolutely believe in knowing what our students are doing.
That's
so
right.
I absolutely got on
what
TikTok.
What grade level school are you a principal?
So I'm assistant principal.
Assistant principal.
But I started out assistant principal at an elementary school K-8. This year I am in a high school. So when I started with the TikTok craze, I was with my middle year students.
Okay.
And I really wanted to understand, as with all social media platforms, what it is, because I think it's important to be able to relate to them, and you can't relate nor talk to them about something that you know nothing about.
That's right. And you also you're not showing any curiosity whatsoever.
Right.
So why would they be curious about what you're curious about if we're not curious about what they're curious about?
Absolutely. And they love it, like, because it's that connection that they can make with you, you know. So it was like, okay, let me get on here and see, you know, what this is about. And the more time I spent on it, because it's addictive, the more I started putting in different things, like, let me see this, let me see that. And then that's when I ran across the Black Sewing Network with Carmen, like this whole idea that she came up with. Yes. And I'm just like, okay, you know, I'm going to follow her. Then as she began to grow and I began to watch her and see other sewists do what they do, I became more and more connected. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, I've got to be a part of this in some sort of way.
Yes.
So even if it's not to be with them physically, or if it's not even to see them and interact with them, but it's just to be able to type or to watch whatever's going on, I wanted to be there for it because it gave me a distraction, but also a focus. They're working on this outfit. I'm working on this outfit.
Yes.
I'm going to post my pictures because I'm going to finish this outfit. So then I can post it. Hey, I did this project too. And it gave me that motivation to get back into the garment part, which you don't see a lot of because I don't really post that as much. But I do because I've been known as this quilt girly. So I said, well, let me capitalize on that quilt thing. First of all, I have a ton of unfinished projects. Like started in the bag, you name it, every acronym you have, I have. Needs to be quilted, needs to be sewn together. Your girlfriend gonna kill you if you don't finish this project. Whatever it is, it's all there. So it gave me this opportunity to say, you know what, I got a goal. So last year I said, okay, guys, here's all the stuff that I have. I need to finish this. And so I began to finish projects that I had. And in my mind, TikTok was holding me accountable for getting it done.
Nice. Say more about that. We know that each social media platform has their own personality. Mm-hmm. Can you let me know or tell us why TikTok, why people might be surprised to learn that TikTok is such a site for rich community? Can you explain why or how that has worked for you? You started on TikTok just kind of gradually and just for the purposes of work, basically to help do your job as an assistant principal better, to see what the kids were doing. And so that you would know, like when they said something, you'd have an idea of what, you know, what it was coming from or the viral dances or whatever.
Right.
And that's kind of a big surprise. Tell us about this, the community aspect of TikTok as an environment for teaching about quilting.
So I think everything happens organically. So you get on Facebook and you're on Facebook and you're just communicating with people. So you have all these friends. So you have 500 friends who all have connections with me for different reasons.
Right.
Whether it's my boot camp people who I work out with, some of my coworkers.
Yes.
So they have all different interests to me that aren't necessarily related to sewing.
Right.
So, you know, the question on Facebook, even though I posted, hey, I made this, and then I get, can you make me?
Girl,
like, that wasn't the purpose of posting.
If you don't sit down somewhere.
Look, but it makes sense, right? If I'm posting it,
yes,
I'm saying, hey, I got this talent. Please hire me. But that's not what I'm
posting. Yeah, they're like, why would you post it unless you wanted to sell it? And it's like, no, I posted it because I'm proud of it, or because I, you know, I'm celebrating that I finished something.
Right. And nope, I'm not, you know. So, and then I get the inboxes or the calls. Come on, you just got to do. No. But I recognize there in Facebook, like, I could do it, but I didn't want to get haggled for it. So, I kind of left that alone to the work stuff.
Yes.
And then what really blew up for me on Facebook was the workout. So I was posting that I was working out and people watched the journey of me losing the weight. And then all of a sudden I gained it back. But that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. You know, they watched that. So that was like the Facebook thing almost.
Okay.
The Instagram, I wasn't really involved with that too much, even though I had an account. So then when TikTok came into play and then I saw this sewing thing, it was an opportunity to create a vision of myself or a persona of myself was strictly to sewing. So it was like, okay, so I had two accounts now. So I have the one that isn't that big. And then I have the Dr. Jen quilting page.
Yes.
And I focus mainly on the quilting, but I've noticed like there's this need. So when I'm posting, the audiences that I have, even on live do prefer that I show my hands in the machine or whatever I'm doing.
Oh.
And they love that I explain step by step how to do something.
Okay.
Which is different from some of the other people. Like you get on and you watch Nikki, for example, showing a bag. She'll tell you what she's doing.
Yes.
But mine is a lot more instructional for some yes. people. So I'm absolutely going to walk you through. This is why you should use this. And this is why. Now, when you mess up, this is what it looks
yes.
like.
Yes.
But, you know, so there's this space for people who want to learn how to do
yes.
and looking for tips and tricks to figure out how to do, and love the fact that you're not saying, send me gifts. You need to, you know, pay me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm just willing to share the knowledge with you
yes.
that I have been fortunate enough over the decades to have people share with me
mm-hmm.
without asking for money.
Hey friends, hey, I know you're enjoying the audio version of Stitch Please, and thanks so much for listening. But you're missing out on all the great stuff going on behind the scenes. That's why I'm inviting you to join our Black Women Stitch Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can see all the video versions of the podcast. Plus, you get some amazing swatch cards. You know how much I love these swatch cards. Look, look, see how cool these are? You can't see them because you are not yet on the Patreon. So when you join the Patreon, you'll be able to see this. Me showing you these amazing cards. We also have some great perks at the other tiers, like discounts, swag, office hours, and more. Don't be the last sewist in the group now. Head over to patreon.com/blackwomenstitch or click the link in the show notes and become a Patreon supporter today. We truly cannot do this without you. So thank you so much.
You know, and I'm not saying it'll never come to that point where I may ask for something.
Right.
Right now, I'm willing to share with people
yes.
what I do,
yes. you know,
and how to do it. And it's absolutely, I love it. And I love it when my friends say, well, can I come over your house? Because I need you to show me how to do. Come.
Usually.
First of all, I'm home half the time. My yes. husband's no longer here. So I'm not lonely because I'm okay being here and I'm okay when I go out, but it's nice every now and then to have company. And so mm-hmm. there's something at the table that we can talk about and engage in. And if that's the meeting of the minds of sewing, then
yes.
that's absolutely perfect. And it aligns for me because where did I learn how to sew? But at the dining room table.
That's
with
right.
my grandmother. So it comes full circle for me when people come over to visit and they want to learn how to do something because my grandmother poured into me and I absolutely can pour into someone else.
What are some of the questions that surprised you that people have about quilting or some misconceptions that maybe beginners have asked you about? I remember someone asked me, why was I throwing away needles when I could sharpen them? Can't you sharpen them? And I was like, no one has ever asked me if I could sharpen a sewing machine needle. And I never, ever once in life thought that I would do so.
So, you know, people will ask, like, is there a specific machine?
Right.
No, you know, it depends on what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I share with them that my trusty dusty Husqvarna Viking machine, tried and true, gets me through everything.
Yes.
So it gets me through the piecing as well as the free motion quilting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to buy a long arm to do it.
Right.
Is it easier? Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, it can be done on your domestic machine. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of cramming and shoving to do what you need to do, but it can be done. So, you know, this is a project that can be extremely expensive or it can be moderately expensive or, you know, at the very low end. So it just depends on, you know, your money. You get what you can get and you have to really invest in it because you could buy a lot of stuff.
You could.
That you don't use. And you're sitting there going like, are you kidding me? That's been all this money on. And so I do that even in my videos. So the one that I posted last night about rulers, I said, look, I saw rulers that are in the pack. I haven't even taken out the pack yet. And then the one female said, well, what is that ruler used for? Okay, so now I got to do another video to show you what to use a ruler for. But, and that's fine, because that'll get that ruler out of that pack and I will finally use that ruler.
Exactly. So,
you know, it's not a problem. Like, I'm so happy you asked that question.
You know, but what I love about that? I really love that one of the through lines that I'm sensing is education. It is mm-hmm. teaching. It is, you know, as you are finishing up your doctorate and being an assistant principal, you are also teaching in your spare time for free, girl. Teaching for free in your spare time. I wanted to ask another teaching thing that you do about the connection between quilting and children's literature, or quilting and literature. You've been doing a series of videos where you talk about a particular African-American children's book that may be related to quilting. What does it mean to bring these texts forward into our creative community?
So about a couple of years ago, I did a series. I don't know if it was video. I think it may have been pictures. So all during Black History Month, every day I did a book. And I introduced a different book that people should buy that were not common books to read. The Children Shall Lead Us. Like there were, you know, just different. No, Let the Children March. That's what it was called.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, there were just different books that I wanted to make sure that we were bringing forward for teachers and for parents for adding literacy to your home. And so these are absolutely books you needed to buy. So in addition to the books, I also had a shirt on that went along with, you know, Black History Month. So I absolutely featured a shirt and I featured a book for every day to bring awareness to the books. I wanted to make sure that my teaching community at my school understood that. And I wanted to make sure that people in my circles and Facebook understood.
Yes.
So then moving forward, I said, you know, Jen, you got all these quilt books at home and you need to bring that series back, but let's focus on the quilt books. So then I pulled the quilt books out. You know, again, here are books that you can get for your child, because you're asking questions like, hey, you know, why is this important? Or, you know, I want to know more about quilting. Well, hey, G's Ben. So my maiden name is G. And I was like, absolutely, you know, there's probably some relation there. So I'm going to bring forth Juice Ben. And it's great now because Target decided that they wanted to bring forth G's Ben.
Yes.
And so it's important to, you know, to acknowledge, you know, the historical context of the quilts that are out there and what that meant throughout generation, because quilts didn't start with these beautiful pieces of fabric that we bought at the quilt shop. They started with fabric that people got from around the house, from shirts or whatever, and stitched together to create these fabulous quilts that people you know, had back then. And some people still do now.
Yes.
And we talk about like making t-shirt quilts or baby quilts, where we take the baby clothes or the t-shirts to create a memory for somebody.
I love those. Yes.
You know, and so it's absolutely fabulous, but it, you know, it just brings awareness. And also, you know, let's be real. The majority of the people on TikTok who are quilters are not African American.
Right.
And so I still want to make sure, because I say Black Sewing Network, Black Sewing Network, Black Sewing Network. So absolutely they understand I'm a part of Black Sewing Network. They also then are seeing Ankara.
Yes.
So they're seeing that. So now it's like, okay, so here are the books. I'm not going to scare you away and, you know, bring in the dissertation stuff that I could bring in because I think that sometimes there is a time and a place for it, you know, to go in deep.
Yes.
Because if people aren't ready for deep,
it's going to ironically go over their heads. It's just not, and it's also a waste of your energy.
Right. Right. So it's just like, okay, so how can I do this and, you know, make things relevant and real for people without, you know, necessarily scaring them away, but it just kind of inviting them in. This is a really cool book and you will really like this. Even like I did Ann Lowe, and I introduced that book and I said, look, like, and then now, wait a minute, and it was on sale on Amazon. Buy one, get one half off. Run and get that while you get that deal.
Yes.
But we had the opportunity to see her exhibit in Delaware, and it was absolutely fantastic.
It was a great exhibition. And I interviewed Elizabeth Way, who is the curator. Yes. And I was there for the symposium that they did at the Winterthur. And wow, was that... That was over the moon. I have pictures of those gowns, and I'm like, maybe one day if I, you know, develop the patience of Anne Lowe, I might be able to sit down and do this by hand without a machine. What? I was going to ask you, and I think you hinted at this a little bit. Do you quilt your own quilts, or do you send them out?
So I have never sent it out. I have had the pleasure when we were at the Quilt Academy, they had a long arm. So they taught us how to use the long arm. So some of my quilts were quilted on the long arm, but I absolutely did that. I'm going to keep it 100. I was not spending $100, $200 to have somebody else do what I could do. It's an economical thing, you know, more than anything. And it's a pig-headed thing for me, you know. In terms of that. So I refused to do that. I didn't see at the time, because I wasn't doing anything on a grand scale, of spending the amount of money that you could on a long arm. And I watched other people do it and then not use it for the amount of money that they spent on that long arm. We're talking $10,000,
right,
at base for a long arm. You know, and it's got to fit in a space in your house because the frame could be 8 to 10 feet or longer. And it's like, that's not happening. So I did a lot of work with, like I said, my Emerald and me. We would tussle it out and we would get it done. Like, I probably still have some king sizes upstairs that need to be done. I am thinking about the possibility of getting a sitting long arm.
That's what I'm thinking too, actually.
Yeah. So the Bernina, I'm looking at the Bernina.
I'm not a Bernina girl. I think that their presser feet are too picky, but I don't know about their work at that sit down level. I think I've seen those demonstrated, and I think people have had good experiences with them. Hey, we got to tell the folks what a long arm is. What's a long arm?
So the long arm, so a standard sewing machine, you're basically letting your feed dogs, if you will, the teeth that are underneath of the machine, move your fabric for you. When you're free motion quilting, you lower what we call the feed dogs so that you can move the fabric all around to create these wonderful designs that you want to create. With a long arm machine, depending, the sitting one, you're still moving the fabric because the machine is staying stationary and you're moving the fabric around. This helps to create the bonding of the fabrics, if you will, between your backing, your batting, and your top so that they all become one to make that quilt. The long arm machine is when you have a quilting machine where the fabric stays still and the machine moves for you. So it gives you a tighter stitch. It makes the fabric a lot more taut than it would be if you were trying to spray baste it or pin baste it. So it allows you to work also in a bigger area without cramming the fabric underneath of the throat of your machine, which is basically almost from the needle to that wall of the machine. So depending on the machine you have, you may have a throat that is 8 inches to maybe 12 inches, depending. And so it doesn't give you a lot of room to do the bigger quilts. So long arms can be almost like a manual to digital. And so the more sophisticated it is and the more you can program it, the more expensive it's going to cost. So you could easily spend $20,000, $30,000 on a long arm. But if you're doing a business, it makes sense.
Yes, it does. Because you can absolutely make that money back pretty quickly.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think the sit down long arm is something I was kind of thinking about, but I don't want to have any more things in this room than I currently do, honestly, with limited exceptions. But, you know, this has been such a wonderful conversation and I am so glad we got a chance to have it. And I have to ask you our last question. This is the question we ask everyone on the Stitch Please podcast. Dr. Hale, the slogan of the Stitch Please podcast is that we will help you get your stitch together. What advice do you have for our audience today that will help us get our stitch together?
For me, sewists are so afraid of quilting. And you just have to try it and understand that you are your worst critic. It's no more different than making a garment. You're going to make mistakes. You are going to seam rip. You are going to decide it's ugly and you're going to set it aside and go on to something else. It's the same thing. But once you have a purpose for it, it becomes real. So if I have a baby, that the baby shower is coming up, I want a personalized gift. That gift becomes real. Just a general quilt, just to be making it, it doesn't become real for you. So then there's a sense of urgency when you need something. So if I make a dress that I don't need to wear anywhere, it's not real. Oh, I messed it up. Let me put it off to the side. I'll get to it when I get to it. So it's the same thing, but just, you know, absolutely stick with the process. It's a great gift giver. It's an expensive gift giver. You know, and people always love something personal, whether they are older or whether they are children. I have children who are adults now who still have their quilts tattered and torn. They have them because that was a special gift that they treasure.
Wow. And speaking of special gift that we treasure, thank you, Dr. Jennifer Hale, for being with us today. Thank you for sharing your story with us. Where can people find you? How can we find you on the socials? How can we follow you? How can we keep up with your sewing adventures on TikTok, et cetera?
So I am all one word, Jennifer G. Hale, on TikTok. That's the only place that I could not use my Jenny G06. But I am Jenny G06 on Facebook and Instagram. But like I said, I'm beginning to move some things over there just to pick up some traffic to back to TikTok. But most things are getting posted onto TikTok. So you can absolutely find me on TikTok. I slide in the evenings after I've taken naps late at night to get on. I try to get that late night crowd. And sometimes on the weekends, I will go live. But I tell people all the time in my posts and on live, if you want to see something, ask the question. And I respond to everything that everybody asks me. And if I can make that video happen within a week, you will have a video.
Oh, wow. That is just so generous. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennifer G. Hale. So grateful to have you join us on the Stitch Please podcast today. And we look forward to seeing you on the TikTok because I enjoy seeing you over there for sure.
Thank you. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I appreciate it. It is truly an honor to be asked to be a part of this.
Thank you. Your story honors us all. Thank you.
You've been listening to Stitch Please, the official podcast of Black Women Stitch, the sewing group where Black Lives Matter. We appreciate you joining us this week and every week for stories that center Black women, girls, and femmes in sewing. We invite you to join the Black Women Stitch Patreon community with giving levels beginning at $5 a month. Your contributions help us bring the Stitch Please podcast to you every week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support, and come back next week and we'll help you get your stitch together.